Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. It's noon on hump day, halfway to the weekend. Congratulations. Plus, also, there's a football game tomorrow night, so it kind of feels like you're even closer to the weekend.
Yeah, you know, man. I mean?
You got a Falcons game tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You got Braves playoffs tonight, hopefully, and tomorrow night as well. Got to win tonight in order to make that possible. And then you got a full slate of college football Saturday and NFL on Sunday, with no stress of a Falcons game. And hopefully if Falcons win, so you can just fully enjoy everything on Sunday. So anyway, you're halfway to the weekend. That's what matters most. We're here at Flowery Branch broadcasting live. Had a jam-packed first hour, if you missed any of it. Chris Lindstrom stopped by right off the bat to help us open the show and talk about the Falcons and what they need to do tomorrow night to beat the Bucks. Dave Archer stopped by at 11:40, had a good conversation with Arch about what they need to clean up and get better at to win tomorrow night against the Bucks. And then Raheem Morris is going to stop by at 1:30. We'll talk to Coach then.
Yeah, you got to – it's because of – and Lynch talked about the physical part about it. It's, the mental part is so pivotal now. You know, because, you know, you got – what you can't get on the field, you got to get in the meeting rooms. You know, and I know Rod don't want to keep them over here all day today and everything like that. So this is a lot of your own time, spending time as far as looking at over the game plan, looking at their first four games. Because, you, I mean, it is a division opponent, but sometimes they do different things. And so you got to figure out how to get yourself mentally prepared while you're still getting yourself physically prepared. Like, it's going to be a lot of people in the cold tub today, a lot of people at massages and all those different things, just trying to get themselves as close to 100%. We never got 100% once first game, but as close as you can to getting ready because, you know, it was a physical game last weekend on Sunday against the Saints, and it's going to be a physical game Thursday against the Bucks. I saw that a couple guys out there starting off, they lost an offensive tackle. He's out. There's the other one other than Worf, and the other defensive tackle is gone. It's going to be out. We talked about Winfield. He's going to be out this game. So, you know, there's guys out. I don't know who's going to be out for this game. We haven't heard nothing about Terrain, so I know it's day-to-day. Earlier this week, I think he got hurt.
It's sounding like Troy Anderson's unlikely to play, but yeah, nothing.
Okay.
As from what I've seen,
I
so
saw
far,
yesterday Bijan popped
nothing
up.
Official.
I saw yesterday Bijan popped up on the injury report with the hamstring. So I don't know how.
What Raheem said yesterday about Troy Anderson was, "quote He's hurting pretty good."
Yeah.
So
I'm not.
Again, he's not going to commit to it till I have to commit to it.
Right.
But
hurting
pretty good.
Yeah, man. I mean, whenever you got to have both arms on the trainer's shoulders walking out the field. Yeah.
It doesn't seem good.
Yeah, it don't seem good.
Which is just, I mean, look, you don't want anybody to get hurt ever, but it's especially frustrating at the end of the best game that he's had
so far
as a Falcon. Obviously had the pick six, which is awesome. He also had 17 tackles.
Yeah.
He's just everywhere on the field on Sunday. And that's so much what we heard about him coming out of college was his athleticism. You saw it once he got the ball in his hands. That guy's fast, man. He got to the end zone and beat a couple players to get there. But we can ask him about it when we talk to him in an hour and a half. Maybe he'll tell us. We're on pretty good terms with Coach.
Yeah, and we keep secrets.
Yeah.
Either he'll say it live on the radio.
Yeah, he'll say it live on the radio. We just have to get everyone in the circle of trust.
Yeah, we're pretty good at keeping secrets and everything. But this is a pivotal game. We talked about it already. We'll talk more about it and keys and everything tomorrow. But it's the first in the division. I know it's early on in the season, but hell, first is first. And then you'll have two games up in the division themselves. You'll be 2-0 in the South. So, yeah, it's a big game for this team this weekend. It's at home. They went. I peeped out in the field. I forgot they were wearing the red helmets back-to-back weekend. So, yeah, you get to see
the cool-ass uniform. They should wear their red helmets every
weekend. I agree with that.
Just wear them every weekend.
Yeah, just wear them every damn weekend.
Maybe if they go 2-0 in them this year.
Nah.
Then that'll encourage the organization to say, you know what, good luck.
But I think it's more league than organization.
I know. Well, but they could change back to them if they wanted to. Remember when the Hawks won all those games in the MLK jerseys?
Yes.
And they were like, screwing it. We're wearing the MLK jerseys every game. And
yeah.
They kept winning in them. I think that was the year they went to the West to the East Finals.
I think it was, too.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to some college football conversation coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Start turning the page to this weekend. Obviously, Georgia has Auburn. I would think a good opportunity to bounce back after the first loss of the season, but Auburn wasn't very good last year.
Right.
And if it wasn't for Superman Brock Bowers in the second half of that game, Georgia might have lost.
Yep, so you're absolutely correct.
Going to have to come up with some answers there. But we'll get to some college football coming up. Let's kick off the hour with an NFL no huddle. Every day to kick off the noon hour, NFL No Huddle. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's hear a little bit from Grady Jarrett talking about what this defense needs to continue to do.
I think it could be a part of it for sure. You definitely don't want to be on the defense that's giving up a lot of explosive plays. I think there are some plays under that 20-yard mark or whatever the cutoff is that we can get a lot better in. And that's kind of what we focus on, finding the things where we can get better and want to cut out some of those 6-7 yard chunks. You know what I'm saying? Something here and there, because at the end of the day, if you give up 6-7 on first down, it make the other calls easier for the coordinator going against us. So,
same thing Art said.
Yeah, I mean,
same thing.
That's right.
Same thing Art said, and it is that way when you're talking about the coverage that they want to play. That middle, and when you play against explosive offenses, that middle part is there because you got your safety. They're bailing out of there. The corner is soft right there, and that part right there in the middle, Andy, is right there. You've seen it being exploited, and so they got to figure out, like I Grady was saying, to eliminate those plays without giving up the extra big plays. Also, I can think of a great way to eliminate that is by getting pressure on the quarterback with your front. I think that would help out, you know, because any coverage you play back there, if you get pressure from the front, it helps it out. And so that's what the Falcons are not doing. They have one of the lowest pressure rates in the NFL, yep, again.
Yep.
And so until they start getting that, they're going to do that. They got to get off the field on third down. I know we talk about their defense is playing well, but they're not playing well enough. Because if they're playing good, then your offense wouldn't be 20 plays less than – you know what I mean?
That's interesting, though. Is it the defense that's the reason why they're 20 plays less, or is it the offense?
It's both
the
of
reason,
them.
You know what I mean?
It's both of them.
Totally. But I think the defense isn't getting
But I think
field.
I think we always look at it from the offensive standpoint.
Yeah.
But you look at where the defense, because the other team is having 16 third downs, though.
Right.
They're like 8 of 16 or 7 of 16, but they're having 16 of them.
Right.
You're having 9.
Right.
You're having 11.
Yeah.
And these guys are having 16.
No, I mean, it's what's the opposite of complimentary football?
Non-complimentary?
It's insulting. Because, like, a compliment is a nice thing, right?
Right.
The opposite
right.
is an insult.
Right.
They kind of are playing insulting football because they're not complimenting
no,
each
they're
other.
Not.
The defense is not helping the offense by getting off the field on third down and giving the ball more. The offense is absolutely not helping.
No, because they're having to be on the field for 35 minutes.
Now, if you kind of look, I feel like if you just eye test the defense.
Right.
That's a solid defense, right? They're not great. They're not great defense.
No.
They're not the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're not the Broncos this year have a really good defense. There's a handful of teams that the Titans have a really good defense. But they're not bad.
No.
They're not a bad defense.
No.
They're probably top 15, but not top 10, I would say, somewhere in there. And that's right around where they fall statistically in terms of points per game and stuff like that. That's normal. I mean, that kind of checks out as far as what you watch. The offense, on the other hand, is not that. Like, the defense is playing good enough to allow a good offense to win every single game. They're giving up 21 points a game.
Yep.
That's pretty damn good. Like, if you got a decent offense, you can win every single weekend if you give up 21 points.
Yeah.
The offense has not been decent.
They're not. I mean, they have not scored. They didn't score a touchdown last game.
No.
Now, they had one wiped away, whatever. They won the damn football game, and that's the most important thing. But just like Zach Robinson was saying early in the sound we played, they got to figure out how to score points. But the biggest thing to score points is you got to stay on track. You got to find a way to make some bigger plays in the passing game. You got to find a way to get those runs 4 to 6, 7 yards a game, and not, I mean, a play. You got to figure out how to get that going. I don't know if that means giving Tyler Algiers more carries, but he's making a play to get more carries.
Yeah.
You know, because the way he runs the football, it complements that because of the fact is that he puts his foot on the ground, just like Chris Lindstrom saying, that backside cutoff. But the biggest thing that you got to do in that, and a lot of times runners like Bijan who have that explosiveness, quick twitch, they don't press it hard enough. You know what I mean? You don't press, because a lot of times it is blocked, right? You press it, you're going to get 5 yards. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. You're going to do that. And sometimes when you're waiting for that cutback and waiting for it to just open wide open, that hurts the run game a little bit. So just keep pressing it, like Alyssa was saying. But I mean, they got to figure out how to make this offense work with all the weapons that they have. With Dave, I understand where he's coming from with the trust thing and the different routes and how one person runs a route and another person. Because the one thing that a quarterback doesn't want to be done is tricked. Mm-hmm. He does not want to be tricked. He does not want to be thinking that, okay, you're supposed to do this, but you did this instead.
Well, it's kind of what happened on the interception Kirk threw.
Because you're not going to get the ball.
The guy fell.
Yeah.
He didn't break his route off or go someplace. But he threw it where he was supposed to be, and he fell. So that's where the interception
was. I hate
was.
That. And I never understood it when I played, and even though I watched the game, I still don't understand it. Like, but you see, I ain't there.
Yeah.
You see, I ain't there.
Kind of. Did you notice I fell?
Did you see I fell? I mean, you got this. I know you throw to a spot, but did you not see that his jersey was white and mine wasn't?
And it fell like 7 yards before.
Yeah,
dog. I fell early in the round.
Hey, dog.
It wasn't right before.
I'll never understand that point right there.
We love making excuses for quarterbacks.
Yeah, man.
Another
big story. Devontae Adams wants out. I guess he was the guy that was business decisions. I don't know.
We knew he was.
I don't know.
We knew he was. I don't know. But like, all the way back.
But think what AP is. AP a former player, man, and he sees like, hey, dog. All right, cool.
Yeah, he's not there for any of this going on podcast playing coy nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, I think if he was his teammate, I think he'd like to have a few words with him in private.
Yeah,
right,
man.
Now.
He can't really hem up. He liked a post that said that Devontae Adams played his last down as a Raider.
Oh, so maybe he is then.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is a little social media.
These cats,
what,
man.
What's happening?
How you on a? He talking about your damn teammate. And you're giggling. Are you serious?
Man, I don't know, man.
Boy, he would be. He would
as
be.
As I sit here and giggle,
he would be in a damn locker.
Yeah, man.
He would be in a damn locker.
Nah, they don't do that anymore. You don't get put in a locker anymore. You get a tweet like.
He'd be in a damn locker.
I'm gonna unfollow you.
Yeah, that's my dog right there. Yeah, he. That's my boy right there. Yeah.
That's modern. That's the modern locker. You just get unfollowed on social media.
Be thrown in a damn locker.
We'll come back and get to some college football. Game day is at Cal.
Yeah, baby.
Which is awesome. Like, I don't know. People will make fun of it. I think it's great. I think they're going to have a great time in Berkeley. We'll talk about a college football Saturday coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on Hump Day. We'll get into some college football conversation just a couple of minutes from right now. Start looking ahead to a college football Saturday. Back page with Bo coming up at 12:40, top of the 1 o'clock hour. Back into the big story of the day, which is turning the page to tonight. Because there isn't a whole lot to say about last night's Braves performance. Not great. Not great. They're down 1-0 against the Padres. Got to win tonight. Max Fried's on the mound. We'll get to that. We broadcasting live from Flowery Branch today and got a chance to talk to Chris Lindstrom earlier. Raheem Morris is going to stop by when practice is over, whenever practice is over, 1:20, 1:30, whatever. We'll get Coach in here and chat with him. And then, of course, get to an AMA to wrap things up as well. Before we jump into some college football, one thing I definitely want to mention is with everything going on up in North Carolina, North Georgia, I mean, the whole Appalachian region, the flooding from Hurricane Helene, 92.9 The Game has started a fundraiser, and we're calling it the Helene Assist.
Yep.
We're benefiting flood victims in North Carolina. You can go to our website. You can go to 929thegame.com right now. There is a link at the top of the page. You simply click that link. It'll take you over to our site with supportnow.org. We're partnering with supportnow.org to raise money for the Haywood County Schools Foundation. That is the school district that my father-in-law works in,
right,
up in western North Carolina. And it's a situation right now where, I mean, we're talking to my father-in-law, my mother-in-law every day, and they just don't know. Like, we call them on the phone and tell them stuff that they don't know,
right,
about their own situation, because there's just no communication up there right now. Like, they don't really have internet. I mean, they have power, but not everybody does. They're certainly not back in school yet. My father-in-law is a teacher. No idea when school's going to open again. And they're just trying to sort through what all is going on. Two things we know for sure. When school does open back up eventually, a lot of these kids are going to be coming back to school with nothing.
Right.
Like, they've lost homes. Because they've lost homes, they've lost everything that are in those homes. So we're trying to raise some money to just make it a little bit easier for those kids. And that means, like, that's clothes,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm,
backpacks, school supplies, whatever. From a sports standpoint, they've also lost, like, all their fields. Pisgah High School's football field's gone.
And this is the one GM coaches there, right?
Now, that's the rival.
That's the rival.
See,
okay,
this is how much we love everybody,
okay,
up there. We've been trying to – Pisgah High School's football field's gone.
Right.
All of the baseball fields in – I don't know if all of them in Haywood County, but a number of baseball fields in Haywood County are gone. So, you know, high school sports can't happen in that area if you don't have these fields. So hopefully, and no, not hopefully, definitely some of the money that we raise here will go to that as well. And it's a drop in the bucket. I don't know. I don't know how much we can raise. Hopefully, we can raise a whole bunch.
Whatever you can muster,
and if it's $5, awesome.
Put it in there.
It's awesome.
Because $5, it's going to go to something.
That's great. It's just there's so much devastation going on up there, and
right.
It's one of those situations where it's like, I think the reaction most people have is, well, I wish I could do something.
Right.
What can I do? This is what we thought would be a good use of our resources at 92.9 The Game. We know we have a big audience, a giving audience, an awesome audience. So go to 92.9thegame.com, click on the link. It'll take you to supportnow.org. We're calling it the Helene Assist, and we're trying to help some folks out up there in Western North Carolina.
I love it, and I know that you. This is something that, well, I think you started talking about it on Monday and everything, and like Mike comes in and a couple of the sales guys comes in and talk to you about it and everything, and I was so proud of you and your wife. For, you know, because her family lives there, and I just saw her post, and people are donating gifts and diapers and everything like that. I was so proud of you because of how giving you are. And we know, like you said, our listeners, how they feel about us and feel about helping people and everything. So just like Andy said, just go to the link and click on it, and it doesn't matter what it is. Just everything in these type of situations, Andy, everything helps.
It does.
Every little bit helps, man.
And just the act of giving something helps too. You
yes.
know what I mean? Just
yes.
like the fact that the folks up there are on your mind, and you know, say a prayer if that's what you do, send good energy if that's what you do, whatever you could sort of do from that standpoint as well. But it's crazy up there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, man.
The thing is we don't know the extent of the devastation
right.
yet. Like, they're still search and rescuing in a lot of the different areas. Yesterday, there was a family that was dug out of a mudslide alive.
Mm-hmm.
They were alive
right.
underneath mud in their house, and they got them. Thank God they got them. But, like, you know, as the weeks and months go by, hopefully there'll be more positive stories like that. There's going to be really, really sad
yeah,
stories,
man.
Too.
Because there's videos now coming out of, you know, people riding through those towns, maybe on a rescue mission, whatever, and you're seeing, like, what the hell? What? I know what this used to look like.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, that's
you know,
that's
you
the
know,
craziest part.
And I know we talk about Asheville and everything. I've been to Asheville. We went to the Biltmore
sure.
there.
Sure.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures of the Biltmore. You know, it's so much, and it's so crazy that something like that. And again, when this hurricane thing was coming in, there's no way you told me it was going all the way up there.
No.
There's no way.
Nobody expected that. And nobody, there's no way to, like, fully prepare from an infrastructure standpoint
right.
for hurricanes. I mean, natural disasters are what they are. You lived in Florida.
Yes.
You know what that is. But there are parts of the world that kind of expect that stuff sometimes.
Yes.
And maybe build structures for that or try to build structures for that. That part of the country doesn't expect that.
Right.
Like, that you're 500 miles from the ocean. You
right.
know what I mean? And the hurricane got up there and just sat, and it dumped feet of rain. And, yeah, like you were saying, like, there's places where we have, like, important memories,
mm-hmm.
like, important moments in our – and a lot of people – I mean, listeners go up to that part of the country all the time. It's a quick drive. It's beautiful. Like, important family memories at places that don't exist anymore.
Right.
Like, yeah. like less than a year ago, we're sitting at a brewery in Chimney Rock, North Carolina, having a beer. That's where I told you guys the story of, like, my most proud dad moment where I was tough for once.
Right.
Me and Lily were sitting there in the river, and a snake swam out from underneath a rock and patted me on the leg, and I didn't scream like a small child because I was being tough.
Right.
Whatever. That place is gone.
Right.
That town's gone. It flat out off the map. It's in the middle of Lake Lure now. It washed down the river. So anyway, we're going to be raising money for the Haywood County Schools Foundation for the next few weeks. And again, we appreciate you listening to it for sure. But if you can do anything to help, please do so, as the folks up there are in desperate need of help for sure. All right, let's get to a college football corner. All right, so as we start turning our attention to Saturday, the Deep South's oldest rivalry.
Yeah, man.
Saturday afternoon.
Still know what that
is. It happens. It doesn't. I don't. It doesn't feel like that.
No.
To me, I know. You know.
I mean,
sure. There's obviously history. These teams have been playing each other for 100 years.
I love playing Auburn.
Sure.
I love the Auburn game.
Sure.
It probably was even
a little bit different then.
Yes.
But like,
yes.
This is a team that there are some that are saying are actively being bad to try to like boost up NIL money and get their, you know, get all their collective in order. Georgia just lost a really tough game, the first regular season game they've lost in 43 games.
Right.
I would think they would try to get some of that frustration out on Auburn on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. But we also have don't let Alabama beat you twice.
Yeah.
And Kirby does a great job of keeping these guys, and it's hard to say that because they don't lose a lot. But, you know, try to get them refocused and everything and not allow this to happen again. Like you said, that Auburn team was bad last year, and you went down there and laid an egg. Unless, if you don't have Brock Bowers, you probably lose that football game. So I think the one thing you want to build off of is the ability to throw the ball down the field and see if you can build on that, build the chemistry and everything, and see if you can feature these wide receivers more than you have prior to the Alabama game. But I want to see this run game going. I want to see Etienne get the ball and see what he can do with it. And, you know, the defense has got to lick their wounds, man. They got to go out there because, you know, Alabama took some from them. They took it to them. They took their heart, whatever you want to say. They've got to bounce back in a big way and everything. And I expect the Dogs. It's homecoming and everything this weekend up there. So it should be a lot of people, a lot of fun, you know, as far as that those events and everything. But, yeah, I expect Georgia to bounce back in a big way.
I do, too. Yeah. It's just, you know, obviously it's not a thing that happens very often to Georgia to lose a game. The way that game went was insane anyway. Yeah, like, you know, don't have a hangover from it or whatever. But it should be a chance for you to, okay, this didn't work, this did. We got the pass game going in the second half. Maybe we can try to start doing that a little bit more. Because I think if Georgia is going to be the national championship winner at the end of the season, or even really make it to the Final Four and be in that conversation, like I don't think anybody has any doubts that they're a playoff team coming off of what happened against Alabama. There might be some doubts about whether or not they can win a national championship. If they're going to do it, Carson Beck has to be great.
Yes.
And I don't know, there was flashes of it on Saturday. There was more than flashes of terrible.
Yes.
And so you got to find a way to, if he really is that guy, you got to find a way to put him in the situation to show it.
And he's got
to
do it.
And he has to do it.
And he has to do it.
He has to do it. And maybe he isn't. Like, that's the other part of it. Maybe he isn't. Maybe Carson Beck's really good, not great.
Yeah.
You know?
But he has to be. He has to. He's got to change a lot of the narrative about him. Mm-hmm. You know?
What is the narrative about him right now?
That he's quarterback, not great.
Yeah. Because, like, last year obviously played really well, but then lost the big game in the SEC championship game. All the hype coming into the year.
Right.
You and I kind of go in and it's like,
we were.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. We were very, very,
I think he's really good. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I don't know about number one overall.
We were both like that.
Just a little bit like, okay, I hope he is, but I don't know.
But the thing about it was, he was rewarded with a hell of an offseason.
Sure.
Hell of an collective. What was the game truck he got? The Ghini.
He's got a Lamborghini.
The Ghini. The private plane.
Instagram model girlfriend.
Yeah, the prior plane. He got this young lady. Like he benefited from it.
Yeah.
Rightfully so, because he played well enough get all that.
No doubt.
But I kept saying this. I was like, how much is it is him, and how much is it him being the quarterback of Georgia?
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of it looks like it was because he was the quarterback of Georgia.
Yeah. But he's
got to flip that.
But he's got to flip it. But he's got to play well, man. He's got to play well. Tech is playing undefeated Duke, baby.
Yeah.
Undefeated Duke.
They should be able to handle that one.
You think so?
I think so. And I'm not saying Duke's bad. I think Duke's pretty good. They got Malik Murphy playing quarterback.
Right.
He was at Texas last year. They were down 20-0 in the third quarter last week against UNC.
And who did they lose to?
And then they stormed back and they beat them. They beat them 21-20. But, yeah, you could beat Duke. They could beat Duke, right?
Uh-huh.
I know.
Yes, they could beat Duke.
I think they could beat Duke.
They could beat Duke. Where's the game at? Is it Atlanta? Don't matter. I think Tech, because they coming off of a butt kick into Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville's so, pretty good.
Hey, man, I thought they were going to win that Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
I really did.
That game is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. There we go.
It'll be played at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Georgia Tech's favored by 9. They could beat Duke.
They could beat them?
Yeah.
What are they saying about Duke? Wow.
They're okay. There's a handful of teams that are undefeated right now that are not ranked for a reason. You know what I mean? If you're in a Power 5 conference and you're undefeated this far into the year and you're not ranked, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know. The losses are coming. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day. Hey, congratulations to Troy Anderson.
Yeah, man.
Troy Andersen, NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Great game last week. Not looking like he's going to play tomorrow, but we don't know for sure. It'd be awesome if he did. But congratulations to him. First ever NFC Defensive Player of the Week award for Troy Andersen.
Good for him, man. Pretty I mean, he played his butt off. And Joe Patrick just tweeted out he was not at open practice today. So, yeah, it's probably a possibility.
I mean, it's all but confirmed.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Basically.
But whatever. It is what it is. Next man up. I wonder if that's going to elevate Rashad Evans or our guy, the Rook from Georgia. He's going to get an opportunity to start his first game. But they got to get more impact out of that position anyways. I mean, when you talk about all of them, Caden Ellis, everybody, you got to get a little bit more from that second level. But I think as a defense as a whole, you got to the pressure's quiet.
Yeah.
That's how the pressure is.
Yeah, we said it going into the game against New Orleans was the linebacker going to have to play great given what they like to do with Taysom Hill and Kamara. We scored a touchdown at 17 tackles, so he listened to us.
He listened.
I guess we'll have to come up with a good key to the game tomorrow to try to tell him what to do.
Yeah, man.
Sack him.
They're playing coverage. That's what the Falcons are playing. They're playing coverage, but they got to get pressure from those guys. I said, we ain't heard Grady's name in two games. Mm. You know, he's got to get on, you know, somebody, Lorenzo Carter, Evan Cady, somebody got to find some pressure. All right. Somebody got to find some pressure because Judon, he's doing the best he can, but obviously he got to get more pressure, but somebody else has got it. Somebody, come on, man, grab somebody's hand. Come on. Let's get this guy.
Yeah, man.
Let's get this guy. Because like Dave said, like Baker's comfortable. And when Baker's comfortable, and again, we talk about those shots and everything like that, like you got to get after this dude, man. He ain't going to run away from you or nothing.
No, but he'll keep a play alive.
Keep
play alive.
But they got
to,
yeah.
He still has it in him to make a bad decision and throw it down the field ill-advised, but not as much as he used to. No. I mean, that's the difference. So that's what – you know, he always kind of had the big play stuff and escapability a little bit, and it was kind of a fun player to watch. He would just make a lot of mistakes and turn the ball over. He just doesn't turn the ball over anymore. Right. 10 interceptions last year, it's no big deal. He's got 2 so far this year, I think to 10 touchdowns or 8 or whatever it was. But he's been a much more efficient quarterback and turned the ball over a lot less than he used to. He still will, though, if you put him in bad spots. So hopefully they can do that. Put some pressure on him. Might help. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo.
Thank
every day at this time, Bo Johnson joins us. Hello, Bo.
So with the addition of the Red Rifle to the Carolina Panthers, passing attack, it finally happened. Finally got a touchdown from our guy Xavier Leggett. I don't know if you actually saw the Carolina Panthers touchdown or watched any of their highlights. Probably not.
I did.
Did you see the touchdown celebration by any chance?
I did.
What did he do?
y'all remember I told y'all earlier in the year we listened to Xavier Leggett tell you about his horse Dollar Bill.
Yes.
So Xavier Leggett was going to imitate himself riding Dollar Bill, but he almost forgot.
You walk us through that?
Oh, man. Well, I've been telling him boy all week. If I get my first, and I'm going to ride Dollar Bill off the field. So that's what I do.
Ride Dollar Bill.
That was Dollar Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you ready for it? Or because you seemed excited, and then you're like, oh, I got to ride Dollar Bill.
Oh, yeah. No, I was too excited. And I looked at Deontay. I see him riding it, too. So he reminded me.
Deontay Johnson also riding Dollar Bill, reminded of Xavier Leggett to do a stuff.
I just want to know this, because I when I saw it, Bo, I was like, where's the ball? Because it's first touchdown. So I don't know if he kept the ball or not, because it looked like he threw the ball. Mm. It didn't get his first touchdown. But I did see him riding Dollar Bill. And because he said he dedicated the touchdown to Dollar Bill.
Oh, good.
He did. So he dedicated the touchdown to Dollar Bill.
His beloved horse, Dollar Bill. What a delightful
what a great guy,
character
man.
This guy
what a
has
great
become.
Person. Yeah.
I hope he has a great career so we get to hear him talking about touchdowns and stuff forever.
Yeah, and Dollar Bill.
Yes, that's very funny.
I don't think that the Falcons are of any threat of the Carolina Panthers coming after them, so let's hope for some more Xavier Leggett touchdowns just so we can get some more Dollar Bill riding or whatever he chooses to do.
Now, did Deontay Johnson have his own horse, or were they sharing Dollar Bill?
I guess Deontay Johnson was riding Dollar Bill also, maybe Dollar Bill too.
Did he have his hand around his waist?
No, they weren't like riding it together. He was just looked over Deontay Johnson, and Deontay Johnson knew about the touchdown celebration.
Right. So I feel like a saddle is a hard thing to share.
He was riding his own horse. But I think
he had his own horse, also named Dollar Bill.
Yes, that's what it was.
All right.
So Coach Prime joined Ocho and Shannon Sharp on Nightcap the other night, and Ocho went right to asking Coach Prime for a job.
Hey, you got any job openings?
Yep, but you ain't gonna do nothing. You ain't gonna do right.
Hold on. I'm trying to diversify my portfolio. You know I got about 37 lemon jobs.
I know, and I'm proud of you.
I got a lot of them. But
you're really good at this, because you're a really good teacher. You're a really good teacher.
Right.
But can you teach what you did?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There you go.
Matter of fact, in the kind of teacher I am, I don't do it with words. I put the cleats on and actually show. Hey, you got any job? Oh, so I come out there. I route Travis' ass up, and then I lock him up.
Yeah, but what if I get mad that you routed Travis up and I put my cleats on?
You can't do no eight toes, man.
See what I'm saying? I knew you were gonna say that. I set you up for that. I ain't think you was gonna take the thing. Y'all ain't no good. Y'all, you know what I'm about.
So Prime straight up left the video feed after that joke by Ocho.
I would love to.
Yeah, fair enough.
But he did set him up. He knew Chad was gonna jump all over that with them eight toes. How you gonna play it? Come on, man. He knew he set him up for it too.
So I told y'all
he does only have eight toes.
He does only have eight toes.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to open himself up for those jokes every time that something like that comes up. But maybe you can. So I told you all about how Paul Skeens earlier in the season said that he was going to donate $100 for every strikeout that he got this season to the Gary Sinise Foundation, who helps wounded warriors. So Paul Skeens ended up striking out 170 guys. So that's $17,000 that Paul Skeens is going to be donating to the Gary Sinise Foundation.
He should donate $100 for every strikeout that he threw to our assist for Helene, to our Helene assist.
There you go.
Fund also.
Maybe we'll get
him. He wants to help some people out.
Speaking of the Helene assist, can't stand the guy, and I hope his brother gets knocked out by Mike Tyson, but I got to give props to Logan Paul, who after receiving a phone call by fellow YouTuber Sean Hendricks, he, within 24 hours, had a truckload of his Prime sports drink delivered to North Carolina and the first responders up there. So good on you, Logan Paul.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That'll keep them hydrated,
that's
probably.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That's an energy drink?
Is it the energy drink or is it the...
It's a sports drink. I don't think it has
sports drink.
In it,
okay.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, good.
So did y'all know that Lamar Odom was into his own facial care, or how serious he took it?
Lamar Odom?
Lamar Odom, yes. Andy, I guess.
Nah, man, I didn't know that.
Lamar Odom.
That's a hilarious sentence to say.
Yeah,
so, I was unaware that
there
Lamar
is a
Odom
doctor in Beverly Hills, Dr. Robert Dorfman, that for around $3,000 will inject your skin or your face with salmon sperm.
You know, for free, a salmon will do it if you just catch it.
What the hell are we doing?
I'm serious about this.
What?
And look,
you just say the right thing to a salmon, they'll do it for free.
What?
Apparently, this is the new thing in Hollywood, because I guess maybe he could have gotten the idea from Kim K, who has had it done. Jennifer Aniston, among the other celebrities that had it done. But yeah, for the low price of $3,000, you can inject your skin with salmon sperm and get all of its vitalizing effects.
And what does it do?
Makes you look young.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory properties that can smooth and calm your skin, repair and regenerate skin cells.
What happened to
and look,
Botox and
all
that
stuff?
It'll
also offer UV protection, so it's like having sunblock on it.
So it's inside and out.
It's like having, oh, man. Who the hell came up with that?
That's a great question.
No, I've always wanted this. I've always wanted this. Now,
because someone had to do it.
Someone had to do it first.
Someone had to do it first. Like I can see maybe like a scientist realizing that salmon sperm has like stuff in it that's beneficial.
How do you know?
I don't know, because salmon has stuff in it that's beneficial, right?
I guess. But you're gonna do.
So you think the salmon sperm probably has it too?
Hey man, let's go get some damn grasshopper blood and tell people that. Yeah,
right. I guess you're just searching for it, right?
Oh,
but then
God.
Here's the thing: it's one thing to figure out that has the properties in it that you're looking for.
Right.
It's another thing to convince someone to let you inject it into their
food. I didn't know that salmon had that. I didn't.
Well, I didn't either. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah,
I'm not researching salmon sperm.
I'm not either.
But other people are. Here's the thing: like, they're going to do whatever they can to try to fight aging.
Yes.
This is nothing compared to what people will do.
No, because I told y'all about that that Canadian billionaire dude. Like, this dude went to a different extreme.
What was he doing?
He was drinking breast milk and injecting all kind of stuff in his face. Matter of fact, he in jail. Now, he got him from some kind of fraud and
whatever. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you that afraid. Like, because the thing about it is, as much as that, whatever they do to their face, it still look bad.
Yeah, your neck's all wrinkled
You don't
up.
Look young.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get rid of the You can't get rid of that.
You're also not young.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, say you can look as young as you want. You're still old. And
yeah.
You're also going to die someday.
Yeah, I understand. You're going to die young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I guess I'm 40 and happy about it.
Man,
I'm not injecting myself with anything.
These people.
What's the next animal that's going to be used to try to fight the effects of aging?
Whatever it could be, they'll anything. Like they'll stop at nothing.
They're gonna start eating like anything. That's what I'm saying. They're gonna start grilling squirrel ankles. You know what I'm saying? Or something. I don't know, man. Whatever, man.
No, but if you could convince somebody that a grilled squirrel ankle would make them look 5 years
younger, they'd be knocking them back like Skittles.
They'd eat it.
Yeah.
They would eat it immediately. All right, caller number 6 right now. You're going to get a pair of tickets to see Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals on Sunday, October 13th at Lakewood Amphitheater. Again, that's caller number 6, 404-726-0929. We're going to send you to see Anderson .Paak coming up later on this month. If you don't win the tickets, you can head over to livenation.com and buy them there. But caller number 6 right now. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I didn't-